Okay, we're learning Parshas Akev. Okay, this week is Parshas Akev, the second week of the Shiva de Nechemta. Okay, so a few things I want to share with you. Let me first start with a short vart, which I found to be cute. I liked it. It's a short vart. You may not enjoy it as much as I do, but it's an interesting idea. We have this Parshas Birchas Hamazon. This is the big week to darshan about Birchas Hamazon. V'chalta v'savata uveirachta es Hashem Elokecha al eretz atoy v'asher nosan lach. Birchas Hamazon, just derech agav, when it comes, I heard about Leif. He was speaking on Tisha B'Av. He spoke all about it. It was a great topic for Tisha B'Av. I was mechavent him. I thought about this as well. What's a great topic for Tisha B'Av? The best topic. So you'll say, talk about Sinas Chinam. You talk about the Beis Hamikdash, about the Kinos. All of these Tisha B'Av topics. The best thing to talk about on Tisha B'Av is Birchas Hamazon. Food. That's when people will listen to you about Birchas Hamazon. Food, you talk about the bracha. So he spoke about it. That was his topic. He spoke about Birchas Hamazon. And that's when he said, well, he doesn't understand why is it, this is not what I didn't prepare for this, why is it that, let's say it comes Sukkot, you go into the store and all the Haredim holding up the Esrog and they're looking under a magnifying glass and a microscope, is there a bletel, is there a this, is there that? For the mitzvah of Esrog, 99% of the Esrog are kosher. So what's this mishagas? You're looking here and there. These are chumras. But when it comes to Birchas Hamazon is a mitzvah de'oraisa. It's serious business. And no one's so makbid. No one's so makbid. You eat, you take a bencher, you mumble the words, while you're mumbling the words, you're looking at your email, or you're going, no. It's very sad. It's the mitzvah, Birchas Hamazon, is a mitzvah deraisa. It is the ultimate segula for parnasa. It's a beautiful bracha. Hakara satoiv. It's a chaval that we are not machped on Birchas Hamazon as we should be. We're machped on all these other chumris to go to the kaisel for 40 days, to all these strange, bizarre things which are not even they're not the Raisa, they're not the Rabbanon, they're nothing of nothing, and they're Kodesh Kodashim and Birchas Hamazon, which is the most basic mitzvah de Raisa, unfortunately has lost its chashivas. But the point I want to make is we have something called Bracha Me'in Shalosh. I saw this yesterday in Rabbi Shur Sefer Halakach V'Halavuv. We have the bracha me'ein shalosh al hamichya or al ha'etz al hagefen. When a person does not wash and he eats mezonos or he eats peros, if he's not kaveh suda, if you kaveh suda and peros, you have to bench. But let's say you're not kaveh suda, you just grab a fruit from the zayin minim, or you grab a piece of mezonos, a Danish. So you're not kaveh suda. You recite the bracha al hamichya. The bracha of al hamichya is patterned after birchas hamazon. We have to study this in more depth. Everything in Birchas Hamazon basically appears in a short form, condensed. It's a synopsis. Bracha Me'in Shalosh is a synopsis of the Birchas Hamazon. That's why it's called Me'in Shalosh. Min HaTorah, there are three brachas in Birchas Hamazon. Zon, Nodilcha, and Yerushalayim. The fourth bracha is Midraban from Harugi Beitar. So the Alamichya is a Me'in, is a condensed form, a synopsis of the shalosh, of the three main brachos of Birchas Hamazon. But not everything in Al Hamichya appears in Birchas Hamazon. For example, in Birchas Hamazon we make mention of the Mizbeach. We make mention of the Al Heicholecha. It's very strange. Okay, there's a discussion. Why in Beracha Me'in Shalosh do we say the Mizbeach and the Heichel, and that's not mentioned in the Birchas Hamazon? Okay, that's a discussion in and of itself. But I want to focus on two words which also only appear in Me'in Shalosh and do not appear in the Birchas Hamazon, and they are Bikdusha Uvitahara. We say in the Beracha Al Hamechya, let me read you the words. We ask Hashem, Uvnei Yerushalayim Yerakodesh, Bemher Vimeinu, Ve'aleinu L'socha, bring us up to Yerushalayim, Ve'samchein, Ve'vinyinah, cause us to rejoice in its rebuilding, Ve'nochal Mipiriyah, Ve'nisfam Mituvah, we will be saved from its goodness, U'nivorecha Olecha, Bikdusha uvitara, with holiness and with purity. These two words do not appear anywhere in the Birchas Hamazon. Why not? So he says an unbelievable part. When you eat bread and you are required to recite Birchas Hamazon, there are many complicated halachas. Number one, you have to wash. You just can't chop a piece of bread. You have to wash. You have to be kaveyasu. You have to sit down. You're not allowed to walk out. And in fact, the Gemara makes a drasha, v'hiska dishtem, you shall be holy, v'hiyisem kedoshim, the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, the first part of the pasuk, v'hiska dishtem, elu mayim rishonim, v'hiyisem kedoshim, elu mayim acharonim. Eating bread has a lot of requirements. You have to be a mensch. You have to sit down. You have to wash. You're not allowed to talk before you make the bread. You have to be kovei asuda. There are three people, more than three people. Bread is complicated. That's kedusha, what to do. When you chop a Danish, or you chop a fruit, 99% of the halachos do not apply. When they do not apply, you're lacking. It's a greater challenge to sanctify yourself in eating the Danish and the fruit. When you eat bread, Mimela, you elevate yourself into a state of kedusha utahara, because you have to wash, and you have to behave yourself. You have to sit down. You have to do mimela. There's kedusha utahara when you eat bread, but when you eat something which only requires a bracha me'in shalosh, you don't have all of those perks, all of those things which mimela bring kedusha utahara. So it's a much greater challenge for a person to train himself to eat his food in the proper frame of mind, recognizing the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him, and not to behave like an animal. Therefore, you have to pray to Hashem, Unvarecha aleha bekedusha uvitahara. It's unbelievable art. When you eat bread, Mimela this kedusha tahara, because you have to follow the rules of Shulchan Aruch and the rules. Living a life, the mussar of this part is so powerful, because people think, where do you get kedusha tahara? You have to go and dress with a big hat and put on a big black coat and do all of these, learn the whole day and do all of these strange things. Oh, you do all these strange things. Oh, kedusha tahara. Just live a life of kedusha utahara, and you don't have to do all of these strange things. That's the mussar. When it comes to Birchas Hamazon, you don't shuckle. Bikdusha utahara. You're not banging your head into the wall. Why not? Because the name of this kedusha utahara. You washed. You clean your hands. You sat down at a table. You sat with three people and you said Bereshus Derech Eretz before you made the Baruch Berachas Hamotzi Bereshus Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Lamotzi Lechem Haaretz. You speak this when you're eating bread, normally with a group. You talk Divrei Torah. Memeila there's kedusha utahara. You don't have to shuckle and bang your head and say Ribbono Shel Olam, we're going to bless you with kedusha utahara. It's only when you don't live a life of kedusha utahara, then you have to work on yourself. It's a greater challenge. You have to supplement your life with additional blessings and other inyanim to bring more kedusha utahara. It's a very powerful musaba when you think of this. Rav Avraham Shur. Yeah, our Avraham Shur. From Flatbush. The holy Flatbush. From over here on East 15th Street. From the Arbe. The Locust. Locust. You know, Locust. Moshe Rabbeinu, who was Mechadish Arbe. It's a very powerful musavar. You got the vart? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Also, I mean, you mentioned the Mizbeach and the Heichal. The Mizbeach. Table at which you eat the
heichal. Aha, very good. So, the bias. You're saying very good. When it comes to benching, you don't have to say mizbeach and heichal, because when you eat bread, you eat on a table. You eat on a table. The meal is a mizbeach. The heichal, you're eating in your home of kedusha. When you're chopping a fruit on the way to work, you chab a Danish, you go into bagel hall and you chab something and you're eating it on the train. Where's the mizbeach? Where's the heichol? Oh, you don't have these things. Oh, memelo, you have to shuckle and you have to mechavein v'al heicholecha v'al mizbechecha b'kedush over tahara. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't need you to go give lip service, mizbeach and heichol. Just do it. Have a mizbeach. Have a heichol. Wash. Mayim rishonim, mayim achronim. Have live a life of kedusha u'tahara. Once you live a life, you don't need all of these mishagasim. It's an unbelievable art. It's an incredible, incredible musav art. It's one of the best things I've heard in a long time. What? Yeah. Mizbeach and heichol. Mizbeach and heichol and kedusha u'tahara. Okay, we'll talk about it. We're running time. Now, this var is another var which I think is I was inspired. I saw the basic vars in Torah Ladas by Rav Matisyo Bloom, but it's not what he says. I'm telling you, it's not. But the foundation of what I'm saying is there, and he says an incredible idea. It's a beautiful idea. It's very interesting. Let's go to Kriyat Shema. This week's parsha, we have the second parsha of Kriyat Shema.
We have a question about
the Birkat Hamazon. We'll come back after. I don't want to run out of time, so we'll talk about it privately afterwards. Slicha, I don't mean anything personal. Hello. I'm sorry.
No, I'm asking why we for Hamazon we should wash the hand.
Yes.
We should not wash.
You do wash hands. When you eat bread, you wash your hands. When you eat mizonos, you're not required to wash your hands. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. I don't know why. That's the halacha. Okay, let's go to Kriyat Shema. In Kriyat Shema, the end of Parshas Ekev, we come to Kriyat Shema. We say this every single day. V'samtem es divarai ele. You shall set these words, the words of the parsha of Kriyat Shema, that you shall listen to Hashem's commandments, you shall observe the commandments, and you shall serve Hashem, you shall daven to Hashem, al upon levav chem v'yal nashem, upon your heart and upon your neshama. And then it goes on to say, you shall also tie it on your tefillin, lo'os al yedchem, v'hayu le'totof ha'ospein enechem. Now let me read you the Rashi. Rashi says something that is extremely difficult. Rashi, pasuk yedches, V'samtem es divarai ela. You shall set these words. Rashi says, af. Also, la'achar shetiglu. After you go into exile, heyu mitzuyanim b'mitzvos. Don't make a mistake and think that the only place where you have to observe mitzvos is in Eretz Yisrael. But after, there'll be a churban. After Klal Yisrael will be taken to Bavel, and after the time of the Bayis Sheni, when Klal Yisrael will go into Golos, don't make the mistake and think that I'm mechayim to do mitzvahs. After Yachas Shetiglu Hayu Mitzuyanim b'mitzvahs, you shall be perfect. You shall excel in mitzvahs. For example, Rashi says, Hanichu Tfilin, make sure you wear tefillin. Asu mezuzos, make sure you put up mezuzos. Kedei shelo yu lochem chadoshim kishe techazru. It should not be to you something new when you return to Eretz Yisrael, the time of Mashiach. It shouldn't be, oh, we never knew about this before. You should be familiar with the mitzvos because you are mitzuyanim, you are excelling in mitzvos in Golos. So when you come back, the time of Gula to Eretz Yisrael, it won't be a novelty to now observe the mitzvos. V'chein u'aymetz n'pasek yitziv l'cha tziyunim. You shall set up markers. It means you shall excel in mitzvos even in the time of Golos. Now what's extremely difficult is, even though now, first we have to understand why Rashi says this when you go into Golos, because it's a continuation of Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yicharaf Hashem v'chem Hashem will get angry v'yotzar es Hashem will close up the heavens v'lo yemotar v'yodem v'lo z'mesi v'lo v'avadetem mehera me'al ha'aretz hatava asher Hashem nosein lachem. So the Pasuk Yud Zayin clearly discusses Golos. It's clear. You're going to be destroyed, you're going to leave the land, you're going to go into Golos, and Now, when you're in Golis, enters Pasuk Yud Ches. When you are in Golis, don't forget to do mitzvos for some time. Yes, Divarai Eila, you shall continue to observe the mitzvos when you are in Golis, after it has been fulfilled. Vavadatem Mehira, Me'al Oritz Hateva Asher Hashem Nosein Lachem. Now, the problem is, why in the world would a person think that he's exempt from doing tefillin and mezuzah outside of Eretz Yisrael? There is no such thing. We have a whole set of laws. There are certain mitzvos that are tuluyos baretz, and there are certain mitzvos which are not tuluyos baretz. The mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of mezuzah is not a mitzvah hatuluyos baretz. So, of course, you're mechuyev to do these mitzvos in Chutz Liaretz. Mishlam, if Rashi would tell us that when you go into Chutz Liaretz, I want you to continue to observe, let's say, Truma and Meiser and Chadosh and all of the mitzvos that are negiah to the Kedusha of Eretz Orla and Demai, Kilyakenim, all these things, if even though, let's assume that these things are only unique to Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem is now telling that when you go into Chutz Liaretz, I want you midrabanan to be Bekayim, Truman, Meiser, and Orlon, and Klayakarem, and all these things, because in Chutz Liaretz, I want you to familiarize yourself with these mitzvot when you return to Gula, time to the Eretz Yisrael. You should know what they are. Okay, it would make sense. I would understand what the Pasuk is telling us to do. But why in the world does Rashi give us examples of mitzvos which anyway we are mechuyev to do in Chutz Liaretz, of tefillin and mezuzah? There is no exemption for tefillin and mezuzah in Galus. It's not a mitzvah, it's liyabaretz. What is going on here in this Rashi? There's a very well-known Gra. The Gra says that there's a printer's mistake. Originally in this Rashi, again, you have to see the Rashi inside. It's right before Shvi. It's Pasuk Yud Ches. Originally, he did not say Hanichu Tefillin and Asu Mezuzos. Originally, what it said was Hey Tov, Ayin Mem. What does Hey quotation mark Tov stand for? Hifrishu Truma. Hey Tov, not Hinichu Tefillin. Hey Tov means Hifrishu Teruma. Then it said Ayin, quotation mark, Mem, Isru Masros, separate Meiser. That makes perfect sense. Because when you are in Golos, you are not required Maker Hadin to be Mafresh Truma and Mafresh Meiser, because these are mitzvahs which are Tuluyos Baretz. But the Pasuk here says that after you come to a state of Avadetem, still Hashem says, Visamtem es Divarai Eila. I still want you to practice. What are you going to practice? You're going to practice things that you're really exempt from. What are you exempt from? Truma and Meiser. Practice Truma and Meiser in Chutz Liaretz. Halacha L'Maaseh, we don't. That's a story to itself. Whatever, maybe something Bavli did, there's a whole discussion. Bavli might have been different than the rest of Chutz Liaretz. But the point is, the original Girsa interpretation was Hey Tov, Ayin Mem, Hifrishu Truma, Isru Meiser. That's what it said originally in Rashi. What happened? Along came the printer. The printer did not know exactly what these letters mean. They did not know what Hey Tov means and what Ayin Mem meant. And since in the parsha we're dealing here with Kriya Shema, and in this pasuk Yud Ches, it says Ukishartem Lois Al Yedchem V'Ganyule Totofos Beinenechem, and then in pasuk Chaf it says Uchasavta Mizuzos Beisecha V'Yisharecha. From the context of the parsha itself, we're dealing with Tefillin and Mizuzah, and it says in the Rashi, it says Hey Tov. So Mistama Rashi meant Hinichu Tefillin, and when it said Ayin Mem, Mistama meant Asu Mezuzos. That's how this all came about, because the Kasha is so good. What does Tefillin and Mezuzah have to do with practice? There's no exemption. It's a mitzvah that's Chayvas HaGuf, Chayvas Gavra. It's not Tolin Eretz Yisrael. So it was a printer's mistake. They expanded the Rosh Tevois.
I don't know.
The Gros says this.
I know, but it's not exactly a common Rosh Tevois that you could...
Okay, it's very difficult.
Great, he decoded
the Gros, it. The Gros says this, not only the Gros. There are a number of Mepharshim that say this. They say the Mechamim to the Gros, because the Gros said this. However, not everyone is so happy with this girl, like Rabbi Miller. Not everyone is so happy with this. In fact, the Ramban, there's no Rashi Tevis, the Ramban actually, when he quotes this, he says tefillin and mezuzah.
Well, because the Ramban
took it from the Ran. What?
The Ramban,
yeah,
the one who holds that all mitzvos are really
only narratives show. Okay, he's saying an idea. Okay, but I have another answer. It's a beautiful, beautiful answer. It ties in perfectly with yesterday's daf, and the shorish of this answer is found in Rav Matas Yoblum Sefer Torah Ladas. And what he says is as follows. This is the basic idea. Basic idea is we learned yesterday in the daf. Rabbi, they said to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, guess what? Rabbi Yochanan was the famous Amora from Eretz Yisrael. They said to him, guess what? In Bavel, in Chutz Li'aretz, there are Zekanim. There are people there that are 100 years old. Would you believe it? You think only in Eretz Yisrael there are Zekanim. In Chutz Li'aretz, there are people that are 100 years old. Rabbi Yochanan says, can't be. Can't be. You can't be Zekanim. It says, Leman Yirbu Yimeichem Bimei Vineichem Al Ho'adama. Only in Eretz Yisrael there are Zekanim, not in Chutz Li'aretz. Can't be. So they told Rabbi Yochanan, but I'll tell you the reason. Because they build Bate Kineosios, Bate Midrashos, and they get up early and they go to Davin and they stay late and they learn they're late. Oh, if that's the case, they are botik in the Sibbat Midrashos. Oh, you're right. Then in Echanami there will be Arichas Yom. That's yesterday's daf. What's the Hezver HaDvarim? What's the understanding of the Sibbat? A lot of the say the same thing. Is that a base HaKneses and a base Medrash is a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. The Haraya, Le'asid Lavoi, all of the Bate Kinesios and Bate Midrashos will be uprooted and will be transported to Eretz Yisrael. Today we have the technology to do this, by the way. Today they can be done. They can mamish, they do this somewhere. They can mamish cut out from all the way down and pick up a whole chunk. You just have to close up all the highways. And you can mamish take a building, you can bring it to another part of the world. Le'asid to be brought to Eretz Yisrael. The male, the base HaKnesses, and the base Medrash is a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. Us in Chanan, it's no kasha. It says in the pasuk, "Leman yimeichem al ha'adama." When they told Rabbi Yochanan that in Chutz Li'aretz, there's also a kiyum of al ha'adama because they have bate kinesios, bate midrashos, and the Jewish people spend all their time in the Beis Medrash and Beis Haknesses fighting. So they're living on the land. They're in there. They're on their Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
I think Rav Karlov once referred to these bate medrash and kinesios embassies, just like a country has an embassy in every country.
Every base HaKnesses has an embassy.
That's considered part of their territory.
Yes. The capital. The capital is located in America. But
interesting politics.
Oh, we'll get to that. Okay, well, let me finish the idea first. Therefore, now let's finish up the Vart. Okay, let's follow through the idea. What does Rashi say? When you come to Chutz Li'aretz, I want you to do things to remind you of Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk over here says, "Va'avadetem heira me'al ha'aretz ha'tovah asher Hashem nosein loch." And there's going to be churban. What's going to happen? You're going to go into galus. In galus, Hashem says, "I want you to practice." How are you going to practice? V'samtem es devarai ele. Practice. So that when you one day come back to Eretz Yisrael, it should not be new. You should be familiar with these things. How are you going to practice? Two things. Put up a mezuzah and wear tefillin. What's a mezuzah and what's tefillin? What is a mezuzah? When you put up a mezuzah on a building, besides the fact that it's shmirah, you're giving the makom kedusha. Putting a mezuzah means this room, this location is sacred. When you make a makom sacred, in a certain sense, you're making that into a dogma of a Beis HaKnesses and Beis Medrash. It's not only that in Bavel we have Bate Knesses, Bate Midrashas. Every bias that is sacred is also a Mikdash Ma'at. There's also a Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash. And we just concluded that a place in Chutz Li'aretz that's sacred is mamish a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. It's an embassy. It's a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. What are tefillin? Tefillin is what you do in a Beis HaKnesses. Tefillin represents the idea. First of all, tefillin, the singular of tefillin is tefillah. Tefillah and tefillin are interrelated. There's a tefillah shalyan and tefillah shalyan. What do you do when you have tefillah? You connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You tie Hashem's name upon yourself. What do we do when we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We connect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of wearing tefillin and davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one and the same. It's a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you connect yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're living in Eretz Yisrael. So these two ideas of you going into Galus, I want you to practice. How are you going to practice? The way you're going to practice in Chutz Li'aretz is you're going to create embassies of Eretz Yisrael in Chutz Li'aretz. And those mekoymos of kedusha, you're going to do the same thing that you would have done in Eretz Yisrael. What do you do in Eretz Yisrael? You connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the tefillin. Connect. Where are you going to connect? Create mekoymos where you that are designated to be holy to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Put up mezuzos, sanctify the makom, and in that makom connect. Then, when you'll come back to the real thing in Eretz Yisrael, you'll be familiar. It won't be a novelty because this is exactly what you've been doing in Chutz Li'aretz all along in the Batei Knesios, Batei Midrashos, in the Mekayim HaKadoshos in Chutz Li'aretz. So it's bedafka when we give here an example of I want you to practice in Chutz Li'aretz so that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, it should not be a novelty. It's Rashi is precise. Yeah.
Take off on what you're saying. People used to wear tefillin all day and a mezuzah. What I think it could also mean is that for other people to see and remember the tefillin, that when you get back and when people walk by your house, they'll see the mezuzah. These are public displays for others to get the people ready, not to forget when you go back.
Go back to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's a similar idea.
Yeah.
But it's a chelik of Eretz Yisrael coming here to create mekoymos of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Li'aretz. And the places that have been created are created the makom and the guf. The makom is the mezuzah and the guf is the person that wears it. Okay, let me give you another. Okay, let's go another idea. Okay, so this is a short idea. I don't want to spend much time on this. Go very quick. This idea. The only reason why I want to say this always is because we learned this yesterday. Bilam cursed Klal Yisrael with the word kalem. He wanted to curse Klal Yisrael the Daf Yomi 2 days ago with the word kalem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu had rachamim. Hashem ramakum Klal Yisrael. Hashem said lo yovah Hashem lokecha. Hashem did not want to curse you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mahapech the klal of lebracha, and Hashem changed kalem to melech. So we discussed yesterday, melech came from Moav, David HaMelech. Okay, now this is a more Kabbalistic idea. That's why I don't want to spend time on it. Just, I think it's a cute idea, especially the last part of this. This comes from Rabbi Pinchas Friedman in a sefer called Shevilei Pinchas. So it's just a cute idea.
Bells?
Shevile, but yes, from bells, correct. The bells are dying. These are chavusu. The bells are up. Yes. So it's a short, cute idea. It's more Kabbalistic. He explained this false. Dr. Friedman will tell us that this is true. Every time a person eats, there are three main organs which participate in the spiritual digestive process of eating. This is what it says in Sefer Kabbalah: the liver, the kaved, the heart, and the moach. Kaved, chof, lev, lamed, moach is mem. Rush, if those three letters together, it's called kalem. Now what it means, doesn't mean this, I'm sure this is not true at all ask a doctor, they'll laugh you off. But what it means is that the liver, the kaved, receives the food at a certain point in time in the process of digesting the food. At a certain point in time, and it filters, it separates the good from the bad, the nutrients, and then it ships it off to the heart, and the heart sends it to the mind. Okay, again, we're not. What it means though is that the liver is the most gashmius. It receives after the food has been digested, and it's brought to a certain form. The liver receives the gashmius elements of the food. After it has received, it then separates the good from the bad. It sends off the good to the heart, and the heart distributes the best nutrients in the blood to the body, specifically to the mind. The mind is kula ruchni. The lev is the transition between the kaveh that's kula gashmi and the mind that's kula ruchni. So eating is a three-step process. Gashmius, davar gashmi. The davar gashmi is broken down into, we extract the ruchniistic elements of the gashmius, and that is given to the heart, and it's the heart's goal to send it to the mind, which is a place that's kula ruchni, to transform the person into a better person. This is the process of eating. Now he goes further to explain, that's why we have bracha. There are three brachos in Birchas Hamazon. The first bracha is Hazon. Hazon es ha'olam kuloi represents Hashem provides sustenance to the entire world. Gashmius. The second bracha, Noida Lecha, focuses specifically on Eretz Yisrael. The third bracha is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is kula ruchni. So Yerushalayim corresponds to the moach, the mind. Yerushalayim is the heart, is the place, is the transition. Yerushalayim is the general area. Eretz Yisrael, it corresponds to the heart. And the kaved corresponds to the entire world. So there's a parallel.
The moach
is Yerushalayim. Yeah. The heart is Eretz Yisrael, and the entire world, as Zones Oilam Kula, is the Kaved. So they are parallels. There's Kaved, Lev, Moach, Gashmius, transition point, Kula Ruchni. Three brachas in Birchas Hamazon. Hazones Oilam Kula corresponds to Kula Gashmi. Hashem puts Gashmi to the entire world. Then the kedusha is extracted by Eretz Yisrael. That is the leiv, and the highest point of kula ruchni is Yerushalayim. Three different levels. That is kalem. This is a very great danger, because if a person starts off on the davar gashmi, there's a very great danger that he'll never reach the madrega. He'll never properly elevate the Mozom that's found in the Kaveh to elevate it to the highest madrega of Moach. Therefore, a person has to keep in mind, I don't know all the details, but the other way around is what he says is the Mon. The Mon was torture, it says. Vayancha vayarivecha, Hashem afflicted us. What's the affliction? The Mon was Begeder Melech. It was Lechem Ruchmi. It first came to the Moach. Then it goes to the lave, then the kaveh. When it goes in the reverse order, you're missing. It's very difficult. It's difficult to digest. The mon was difficult for Klai Yisrael to relate to, because the mon, the order of the sustenance that the Klai Yisrael derived from the mon, came in the opposite direction. Melech, lave, it's davar ruchni, then to the kaveh. Bilam wanted it to go only in the order of Kalein, which was Chof Lamed Mem, and Hashem said, no, I guarantee that you will derive sustenance, it will come through the derech of Melech, which is, Melech is Moach, Lev, Kaveh. Okay, he explains the module, which I don't understand, and that's not the reason why I wanted to bring this out. The only thing I wanted to bring out is this parallel between the three brachos, which is a very nice thing, and then this last far, I found to be very, very cute. The last one, he says, Chazal tell us, Shaloisha Shayashvu al Shulchan Echad. Three people sit together at a single table. V'loy amru olav divrei Torah ki'ilu achlu mezivchei mesim. So he says, what does it mean, three people? Only three people? What about there's only one person sitting and eating lunch? He's not mechuyev to think of thoughts of Torah. What is he supposed to be doing when he eats? Supposed to be reading the newspaper? He should also elevate himself when he eats food. It also should be a gather of divrei Torah. So he says a beautiful drush, the shloisha sha'achla shulchanecha doesn't mean necessarily three people. It means the three parts, the three essential parts of the body that derive benefit from the food. The kaved, the lev, and the moach. Those are the shloisha. Oh. The shloisha sha'achla shulchanecha. Who's coming to eat today? Who's eating lunch? The kaved is here, the lev is here, and the moach is here. The yashva shulchanecha. The problem is when you eat the food, you have to have kavana. That when you eat the food, and when the kaved, the liver, digests the nutrients from the blood, you should elevate yourself. The reason why I'm eating is not because it tastes good. It's because I need koyach to serve Hashem. I should somehow get the nutrients that are stuck in the kaved to the heart, and the heart should distribute it to Yerushalayim, to the mind, to the moyach. How do you do that? How does a person elevate himself to eat for spiritual purposes, not for mundane, materialistic, animalistic purposes? Divrei Torah. When you learn a shtickle Torah, when you eat, you have a whole different perspective on what you're eating for. So it's a very cute var. Shloisha sha'achla shulchan echad, the kaveh, the lev, and the moyach. If you say divrei Torah, Mimela, then it's good. But if you don't say it's divrei Torah, you're an animal. It's zifchei mesin. It's detestable what you're doing. So just the only thing to remember, without all the Kabbalah, this is a Kabbalistic concept. He's borrowing from the Kabbalim of this idea, which I don't think we really understand what it means, but these three things, kolim, kaved, lev, moyach, ask a doctor, they'll say, what? Kaved, lev, moyach, why only those three? There are many other parts of the body which contribute towards the digestive process of food. Okay, but this is in Yoni Kabbalah, kaved, lev, moyach, there's a process going up. The mon was a process of going down because it's davar ruchni. That's why it's Bilam said kalem, Bolok said Hashem said melech. When we eat, we go up. Birchas hamazon, there are three brachas, goes from the more general to the more spiritual. Hazon esa oilam kuloi. The whole world is not necessarily on such a high spiritual level. In Africa, they're not necessarily thinking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu when they're eating bread. Not necessarily. Wow. Then you come to Eretz Yisrael. That's the lathe. I'm sure you can find many midrashim which show Eretz Yisrael is called the lathe in the world. And then you come to the Beis Hamikdash, to Yerushalayim, that's the Moyach, three brachas. And the beautiful idea is, Shloisha Sheyashu al Shulchan Echad, V'le'amad Reitavar, Kim Tachon Zer Benizim, the Shloisha, the three organs, the three parts of the body, you have to have Kavana to go up, not just let the food sit in your liver, eat not L'Shem Shemayim. So let's go to one more idea. On this week's parasha, we learn about the two luchas. So a very interesting pasuk. Let me just read you the words of the pasuk after Revi. Bo'es hahi at that time. The unbelievable Sipurna. Omer Hashem Elai, Psolucha, Shnei Luchos Avanim, Karishanim, Va'alei Elai Ha'ara, and bring up the two tablets. The luchos, Rishonos, were shattered. Hashem says we're going to make a replacement, but this time it's not going to be, I am not going to provide the tablets. You, Moshe, are going to provide the tablets. Va'alei Elai Ha'ara, and the Asiso L'cha Aroinates. I want you, Moshe, to make an Aroin. The Sipurno says, if you look carefully in the Torah, especially in the sixth parasha, the only time you find an Aroin is in connection with the Luchos Shnios. Meaning, if we only had the Luchos Rishonos, there would not have been an Aroin. Okay, think of all those newbies. They're going to business. This is just a joke. Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? They wouldn't be an Aron. The only reason why we have an Aron is only for the Luchos Shinios. If Moshe Rabbeinu would not have shattered the Luchos Rishonos, he would have brought them into the Mishkan. He would have put them down on a table or on a stone in the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that would have been it. It would not have been necessary for there to be an Aron. And it says it explicitly here in the Pasuk. After you go and you bring Alei Elai Hara, then the Asisa Lucha Aronates. Make for yourself an Aron for the Luchos Shinios. But the Luchos Rishonos would not have needed an Aron. What is the Pshat?
Maybe it was because the Shevurot of the Luchos Rishonim.
What?
Should be in the place.
It was. Afterwards, Shivrei Luchos Menachos Bo'aron. But that was only after the fact. After they were shattered, they were put in the Aron. That's only later, but originally that was not the plan. Originally, if the Luchos Rishonis were not shattered, it would not have been necessary. That's after they were broken, but no more. But before they were broken, it implies, we can read between the lines, it would not have been necessary for there to be a Luchos. So the question is, why not? So the answer is as follows. The answer is, the Luchos Rishonis were on a much higher Madrega. The Koyach of the Luchos Rishonis had a Koyach to be Mashpi upon the entire world. Why do you put something in? Why do you put something in a box? Why do you shelter things that are valuable? Because not everyone appreciates things that are value, and they'll try to steal it. Or it's thing that it's chashav. It requires a certain degree of modesty, because things which are chashav are only appreciated by certain people, and it's not for everyone to see. It's, you don't go put in this public display things which are very important. If we only had the Luchos Rishonis, the world would have been different. The whole world would have come to appreciate what the Torah is, who Klal Yisrael are. They would come to learn from us, and the Luchos would have been on permanent public display. But now the Luchos Rishonis were shattered, and Klal Yisrael's Kedusha was greatly diminished. The only ones that will now appreciate the Luchos Shniyos are Yechidim, Klal Yisrael. Even when Klal Yisrael, who appreciates the Chashivas of Torah, something which is only appreciated by a select few requires shelter, requires modesty. And that's why now, when the Luchos Shniyos, when the Luchos Rishonos were given, the whole world came to a stop. The birds did not chirp, the animals did not make sounds, the Klal Yisrael was all present by Har Sinai, there was Kolei Sivrach, and the whole world was aware of what was taking place. The Luchos Shniyos took place privately, private audience. The world, Olam Kiminhagoi Nohog, no one knew what was happening. The only one that was receiving the Luchos Shniyos was Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a private ceremony. Because now that Klal Yisrael sin with the Chedo Egel, the Kedusha of the world was greatly diminished, and the only people that can appreciate Kedusha are a select few. Something which is only appreciated by a few people has to be put in shelter, has to be put away in private. Now, let's go a step further. In the Bayis Rishon, we learn that Shlomo HaMelech created these massive, giant-sized Kruvim. Right? We know that. But Mesei Melachim, there were two, besides the Kruvim that appeared on top of the Aron, there was an Aron, and there were little Kruvim on top of the Aron, the Kapires. And then Shlomo made these massive, massive, giant Kruvim, which sheltered the entire Kodesh Kodashim. What's the purpose of those Kruvim? Well, why did he make those Kruvim? The answer is, Shlomo HaMelech believed that he was living in the time of Mashiach. Whole goal of Shlomo HaMelech, Ish Tachas Gafna, Tachas Tenasa, Shlomo HaMelech wanted to bring Mashiach. He wanted to restore the world to the time, restore Klal Yisrael to the Kedusha that they had before of the Shviras HaLuchos. Let's take a step back. We only have an Aron, right? We have an Aron. What do we have on top of the Aron? Kruvim.
Right.
So does that mean it was not meant to be Kruvim? Kruvim represent the Hashuras HaShchina. But the Kruvim only go on top of the Aron. But you're telling me now, we hear, and make for me an Aron, so that means the Kruvim will only have existed on top of the Aron. Does that mean there was not meant to be Kruvim for the Luchos Rishonos? If there was only Luchos Rishonos, then there would not have been an Aron. But would there have been Kruvim? So you'll say maybe and maybe not. So it's not a mistaver to say not, because the Kruvim represent the Makom HaShuras HaShchina. So what would have been then? It would have been only massive, giant-sized Kruvim. If there would not have been a Chedo Egel, and there only would have been one set of Luchos, the one set of Luchos would have been on permanent display in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there would have been two giant-sized Kruvim sheltering over the entire Kodesh HaKadoshim. But now that Klal Yisrael sinned, and the Luchos Rishonos were shattered, and they were replaced by Luchos Shniyos, which were only appreciated by a select few, it had to be sheltered in a modest box. And on that modest box, we have a little Kruvim to shelter the Kedusha that's hidden here in this box. But Shlomo HaMelech felt that now the time has come for Mashiach to come. He has restored Kedusha to Klal Yisrael like it was before the Chet of Eidel. And now the Kedusha, we can once again take out the Kruvim and put them on display. And if we're going to put them on display, we no longer need an Aron. But we need Kruvim to shelter. What kind of Kruvim? the giant size krum that were meant to be from originally. So what Shlomo HaMelech did in time of the Bayis Rishon was he was making the krum that really should have been made originally at the time of the Mishkan. And that would have been so if there would not have been an Aron. If there is no Aron, then it's on public display. Public display needs very massive size krum to represent the Shechinah's rest over the entire world. But Klal Yisrael sinned. They sin. We lost the Luchos Rishonos. We lost the Luchos Rishonos. We have to have Luchos Shnios, a much lesser Kedusha, which is not appreciated by the entire world. Something that's not appreciated has to be put away in storage. And the storage has a small little set of Luchos. But Shlomo HaMelech was trying to connect the broken parts of the Luchos Rishonos to restore the Kedusha of the Luchos Rishonos. Once the Kedusha would have been restored, the Luchos Rishonos can be on display. Beyond display, we have now giant-sized Kruvim. So this is all an approach to explain the Sukkim based upon the idea of the Sipurna, where he says, make for yourself an Oron only after you have the Luchos Shniyos. Okay, we'll stop here.